Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Well, I'll tell you, I got a good word for you. You guys ready for a good word? Hey, let's make a deal in here today. Let's not leave here the way we came in. You want to? Man, let's leave here better. And I'm hoping my vernacular or my stories or the content's going to be great. The context is what matters in church. Okay? Otherwise, we just hit play on the cassette deck and we'd listen to some old timer talk about God's word or but you know what? To bring it into context is the key. And you know, all of us face issues in our lives, and we have things that are going on in our lives and things that we're dealing with all the time. It's constant. And you know what? There's things that wear us out, and then there's things that don't. There's things that are in our wheelhouse, and there's things that it's like, oh my gosh, I don't think I can ever win in this situation. You know, the interesting thing about church is that, man, we get, it's like in the NFL, after every weekend, if we got all the teams together in one room, and, you know, there's 32 teams, so 16 of them have won, and 16 of them have lost, and some of them have made mistakes and blown games, and other ones have made just highlight reel catches or throws or tackles or whatever. You get them all in the same room, and you deliver the same message. Well, some of them are winning, and some of them aren't. But I'm telling you, the message of this house, the message of this church, every time we come in, the bullseye is we want to help people win. And to help people win, it's simple. It's just discipling. It's disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And so the question always is, man, who's discipling you? And then the second question, the flip side of that is, who are you discipling? That's how this life works. The best experience you could ever have at Guts Church is when you invite a friend or you invite somebody from your family and God impacts their life while they're here. That's the best experience that you could have. Man, it's somebody that may answer an altar call or somebody may come up for prayer at the end of the service or someone may sign up for the internship. I'll tell you, it's interesting. I'd like to know the percentage of people that just one day it just hit them. Like a bolt of lightning hit them in a service and they walk back and they get an application and the next thing you know, they're an intern. And I'll tell you, wherever you are in life, and I operate by a scale of 1 to 10, but and that's how I keep my priority right, okay? I don't look at it as priorities, plural. I look at it as priority. What's my priority right now? What's my priority in this situation? I'm not looking to balance all my priorities. I don't have that capability. But I'm telling you, I could prioritize things as they happen in my life. And you know, you look at it, and for me, on a scale of 1 to 10, where is your life on that scale? And see, what I would purport that you do is that you take wherever you are. And I'll tell you, self-awareness is huge. Man, Paul even said, man, evaluate yourself daily. Now listen, that you're in faith. Man, evaluate yourself daily. Are you trusting God? Evaluate the situation you're in right now, the circumstance that you're dealing with, the battle that you're fighting. Are you trusting God? Are you in faith? And wherever you are, you might say, well, my life right now, I'm recovering. I'm trying to get better. I'm about a 4. Let me just tell you, how about in a year you'd be a 6 or a 7? And then I would ask you, what could you do in your life that could give you that kind of bump? See, stagnant life isn't the life of God in Christ. You know, you stay stagnant for a while, you're going to be thinking, man, is this really worth it? Is it worth it going to church? And what? Why are you here? And I really want to know that, because what can we do to help your experience here? What can we do to help you, man, get that bump that's in your life? Because we're all dealing with things. We're all handling the issues that are in front of us. And what Paul said in the book of Ephesians, he said, above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. See, our faith is a shield. See, so things hit you. How do things hit you in life? Because you're not in faith. How do things hit you in your life? Because you're passive or you're tentative or you're, man, this life, this faith life that we live is an aggressive life. And faith is a shield. And that shield, listen, stands between our tribulation and our lives. See, we all have tribulation. What Jesus said, he said, in this world you'll have tribulation. But then he flipped it. He didn't say, hey, I'm going to help you with your tribulation. He said this, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Be of good cheer. He skipped over the tribulation part. And he said, I've overcome the world. Oh my gosh. It isn't the specifics of life that he's overcome. It's the whole shooting match that he's overcome. In this world, living in this world, which we all live in, he said, you're going to have tribulation. And that tribulation, it's interesting. In my notes, I wrote down my working definition of tribulation in my life is a cause of great trouble. And this stems from our identity and our trust. What are you identifying with? What are you trusting? It's not a rhetorical question. It requires an answer from you. What are you identifying your life as? Well, I'm crippled. Well, I'm broke. Well, I'm not hireable. Well, I'm not promotable. Well, I'm not favored. Well, I don't have the education. See, it's interesting. Listen, you may not have the schooling, but I promise you've got the education. See, everything that's in your life right now, every need that you have, it's in your heart already. Because Jesus has promised, man, I'm giving you a shield. And that shield is going to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. This life is not worth it if you're not bringing that shield into the equation every single day. Man, in Ephesians, what did Paul say? He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes or the plans of the devil. Man, put on the whole armor of God. And then in verse 16 in Ephesians 4, he says, and above all, taking the shield of faith that's able to, that's what stands between you and that tribulation. Man, be of good cheer. Why? We're trusting God. Where is your identity? Where is your trust? Those two things, let me just tell you, you get those two questions right, your life flips into something incredible, something special. Write this down in your notes. There's something special in me. There's something incredible in me. Man, that's why God uses us to house his kingdom. See, God used to use buildings. God used to use stuff. God doesn't use that anymore. I was at a coaches meeting one time, a bunch of high school coaches, and they asked me if I'd break down the word for them for a little bit. And then we started doing it every week. And all these coaches started to come. We're having breakfast, and there's dozens of guys in the room. And finally, I said, "You guys have any questions?" And one guy said, "Well, yeah, it's not really a question; it's a comment. You know, it's what I'm believing God for. Is I'm believing God for that burning bush experience in my life." And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, he goes, "Because God gives that to everybody. God gives everybody a burning bush." And then finally, and he said, "Well, Pastor, can you speak toward that burning bush?" I said, "Yeah, that's not how God operates anymore. God doesn't operate by bushes that are aflame that aren't consumed anymore. God uses people." See, what I might very well be, and this is a little awkward, I might be your burning bush today. God doesn't use those things anymore. He uses people now. That's a new covenant. That's a new and better covenant. Man, he's put us in play. And see, and the way he's done that is Jesus hung on that cross and he said, it's finished. That, you know what? That was his move. The move that Jesus made was, it's finished, okay? So now, it's your move. See, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask amiss. So why is there lack in your life when the Bible says, listen, all your needs met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? Oh my gosh. So now, what do? I identify with that needless life that God offers us through his promise. And you know what? I put my trust in that very same promise. All my needs met, all my needs met, all my needs met. Man, you're looking at your bills and you're looking at your situation. You're looking at your livelihood. You're looking at your household and you're like, all my needs met. I'm telling you by the Spirit of God right now that things are turning around in your house, in your life right now in Jesus' name. See, this is how God does it. Why? Because in Romans, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by me hearing this. Faith comes by me hearing me say it. See, that's where this power is. The power, it's great to receive the spoken word. There's power in that word. But let me tell you where the real true power is when you hear yourself speak that word. Where you say to that mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and don't receive any doubt in your heart, you'll have whatever you say. It's impossible for a mountain to move. Really? If you identify with the world, which equates to tribulation, it is impossible. You identify with Jesus, it's peace. What is that peace? Peace is prosperity. Man, how many of you guys have peace in your life? If there's no peace in your life, there's no prosperity in your life. If there is peace in your life, there is prosperity in your life. See, but what do you have to have that peace? That peace starts with regarding your faith. What does that faith do? It builds your hope. Man, if you're hope-filled, guess what? You're gonna walk in love. There's faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And that's the order. And I think that a lot of times, especially people that have grown up in church a long time, they get that sequence comes out of order. Like first there's hope. And man, when there's no hope, your faith is hopeless. And I look in the Word and I'm thinking, wait a second, I think we've got the order wrong. It's faith. We take that step. What is it? Step of faith. What are you going to do? Man, all my hope is in Him. See, our faith produces that hope. And guess what hope does? Never disappoints. Okay, I'm going to require a response here. I'm going to say that one more time, and I want to let I don't want you to throw the barn doors open, but I want you to let a little bit of emotion to come out, okay? Man, faith produces hope, and that hope never disappoints. Oh my gosh, for the life of me, I can't let people live a hopeless, disappointed life. I can't. And I get it. Sometimes I get aggressive about it. Sometimes I'm very direct with it. I've been accused of being in your face. Rarely am I in your face. But I want it to be direct, man. There's a hope that we gain, listen, by trusting God. And we trust God. When we get to that hope, guess what? We live a life that never disappoints. And what we see is not what we get. What we say is what we get. Write that down. What we see is not what we get. What we say is what we get. We eat good by the words that come out of our mouth. Let me just tell you, we serve a God who calls those things which be not as though they were. Man, I'm telling you, this is the most remarkable thing to me. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Man, our identity. If we identify with the tribulation, that cause of great trouble in our lives, the spirit of the world is on that area of our life, and it's that simple. Listen, if there's lack in your life, it's because the world's connected to that part of your life. Do you hear me? Man, if there's strife in your life, man, the world's connected with that part of your life. If there's disappointment in your life, the world's connected with that part. So what we've got to do is we've got to be consecrated. And to be consecrated is we have to be separate. We have to step out from among them and separate ourselves from that. And let me tell you, that's hard because our flesh craves the world. Our flesh craves the new trend. Our flesh craves the new social media pattern. Our flesh craves gossip. Man, there's a part of our flesh is we kind of like it when people fall. Man, I was dealing with a situation where an acquaintance of mine who's good friends with a bunch of my good friends, man, his marriage hit a buzzsaw. Pastor's a great church. Man, and I know there's people say, man, tell me what's going on. It's like, I don't even want to think about it. My heart's broken over it. But man, if I allow my flesh to connect with that part of the world, I want all the juicy details. Because let me tell you, what I want to do when I get in the flesh, I want to judge. I want to be critical. I really do. I'm telling you, I could be as judgmental as anybody, everybody put together. But what do I have to do? I have to separate myself. I have to consecrate. Are you guys listening today? I have to consecrate myself from that part of the world. Why? I don't want tribulation in my life. Any of you guys ever experienced tribulation? Huh? Yeah. How many of you guys are going, you know what? I'm so bummed. God's blessed me so much that I just miss that tribulation. I miss that fight. I miss not sleeping at night. I miss the nausea. Have you ever heard anybody say that? I miss the nausea. I miss dry heaving. I really do. See, because dry heaving to me equates to alcohol. And it's like, okay, God, I promise. I promise you, I can't throw up anymore, God, so let's make a deal. I'm not doing this anymore. If you could just give me about 15 minutes of relief. See, we got to be as smart as we are when we're dry heaving after a bender. You guys talk to a middle-aged guy and they'll tell you what that is. But see, we have to look at our lives and understand that there's a shield between us and the world. There's a shield, because what's coming from the world are fiery darts. I personally have never been hit by a fiery dart before. I have been hit by hot oil or hot grease coming off of bacon. Anybody ever experienced that? Huh? And it hits you, and instantly you're in a bad mood. I'm telling you, you could have just won the lottery. And if that bacon pops and that grease sprays on you, forget that stupid lottery. My life is a mess. Let's get started, okay? This is going to be a 3 and probably now a 4 week. This is going to be a 4 week series. A game plan, a lesson plan, a foundational plan. God, I thank you for your word today. It's life to us. It's health to all our flesh, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. And I'll tell you, man, if you missed the Friday morning men's Bible reading, I don't even know, what do we call that? We read the book of Colossians. Actually, Tom Moneypenny read it. We listened. And I'll tell you, it is an incredible time of revelation. Because what it does, it's not just the content of God's word, it puts it into context. When you go start to finish in an epistle that Paul read, and you know what? We're putting ourselves in a place that a couple thousand years ago, in the first century, the first group of Christians, man, that's how they received the word. Many of them were illiterate. Someone read those letters to them. And you know what? Hey, read that to me again. Hey, whoa, stop at that part. What did he just say there? I mean, it's so remarkable. It's just amazing to me. But Ephesians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now listen, by the will of God, will you underline that? By the will of God. Two things I believe God for my kids. Two things. Kennedy's here, okay? Taylor, I think, is in France somewhere, and Brooklyn's in New Jersey. And the two things I believe for my kids is they fulfill God's plan for their life and they marry the right person. And see, so we look at it, we break it down, it's that simple. That's the priority for me raising my kids. Okay, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. This is the key right here. See, this letter is written by the will of God, and it's to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So you know what, the flippant people, the skeptical people, the people that are, okay, so number one in here today, by the will of God and faithful in Christ Jesus. That's what my life has to pattern. I'm talking about a game plan here. What's the will of God? If we're living our lives not knowing, if we're living our lives always searching for the will of God for our life, for the next step for our life, I'm telling you, it's going to be stagnant. Excuse me. It's going to be difficult. Find the will of God and be faithful to it. Write that down. Find the will of God and be faithful to it. Verse 2, grace to you and peace to the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, who has blessed us. Listen, it's a mouthful. If this is all you hear today, who has blessed us, it's past perfect tense, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. See, what's awesome about this is, you'll hear some people, and I don't want to categorize them because I get mad when I think about these kind of people, but they call themselves Christians and then will say things like in this verse, the commentary will be, well, that doesn't mean natural blessings, that's spiritual blessings. Let me tell you the heart of God behind this verse. How many of you guys want to know the heart of God? Okay, the will of God, the heart of God behind this verse where he says, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ is, number two, is he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing where the world can't jack with it. See, if a 55-gallon drum of money shows up at your house, the world could jack with it. See, what you have to understand is there is a spirit that's on money. It's called mammon. It's the spirit of the world. Hunter Houston got up here and gave you an opportunity to give and tithe, okay? Why? Why would you tithe? Well, it's a fundraising ploy of the church. It's really not. That's not what the tithe is designed for. The tithe, listen, breaks the power of mammon off your money. That's what the tithe does. You're putting God first. You're giving God the first tenth. What does it do? The rest of that money now is blessed because there's no tender to it. There's no tether to it. There's no leash on it. There's no boundary to it now. So now the money that you have right now is sufficient for what you need. And let me just tell you, if you don't think it is, what did Jesus say to Peter? Go ahead and go fishing. That first fish that you catch, though, reach into its mouth and grab the coins out of its mouth and pay your taxes. And Peter's walking away going, I've fished all my life. My daddy was a fisherman. What is he talking about? And as he's thinking that, trying to do the math, Jesus stops and goes, whoa, Peter, pay my taxes too. Wow. See, we look at it, why? Because, man, what we have, what we already have on the inside of us, what we already have in our heart is sufficient thereof. The Bible refers to our faith as a shield. Trusting God gives us a shield. Again, it quenches all the fiery darts of the evil one. Verse 4, just as he chose us. See, to me, let me tell you, I think I'm gray, I don't think I'm black and white, but I'll tell you this, I'm not a lesson plan guy. Like, I have notes, I'm numbering these notes because there's concrete thinkers in here. Because there's concrete communicators in here, there's black and white people in here. I'm not. I'm an abstract thinker, an abstract communicator, and my world is shades of gray. But see, we have to understand this now and look at it. Wait a second. So life to me, when I see this verse, it flips to my wheelhouse, where I'm not sitting in an algebra class or I'm not sitting in a science class. The bell has rung, and I'm out on the playground, and it's recess. And what are you going to do? What's the first thing you do at recess? You pick somebody. See, and that's what church is. That's what life is for me. You don't have to be here today. The last time you missed church, you missed it because you don't have to be here. Well, in my heart, I have to be here. Why? Because it's recess. What's recess for you? It's the most important part of my day. I go to school because of recess. Man, I'll tell you, well, yeah, but what about lunchtime? Don't you love lunchtime? Yeah, I'm wolfing that PB&J down, and I want to get done, and I want to say, hey, I'm ready to go. Hey, I'm ready to go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Why are you in such a hurry? Because I want to be first. Why do you want to be first? Because I want first pick. Why do you want to be first pick? Because I'm picking Nora Whitaker. Why are you picking Nora Whitaker? Because no matter what we play now, if Nora Whitaker's on my team, we're going to win. See, we've got to understand this. We've got to look at it. Jeremy, I got to keep moving. But it's recess. Think of it as recess. Just come into my wonderful, awkward world just for a minute and think of life as recess. So now it's like, wait a second. God lives on that playground. I want all of God I can get. Oh my gosh, we've got 17 minutes left. Let's burn it all. Let's go for broke. Let's throw that throttle back. Let's get in the left lane. But at recess, you picked. So now we come into the kingdom. My friend, Pastor Jeff Perry's preaching about Esther this morning in St. Louis. And we talked yesterday and last night and this morning. And I heard his message 4 or 5 different times, and where she was born for such a time as this. We step into recess. It's like, this is why I was born. Jesus, pick me. Come on, pick me. I'll be your Nora Whitaker today. Pick me. We're going to win. I'm going to give you everything I've got. I'm telling you, no matter blood, sweat, and tears, no matter what it is, I got the guts to serve you, Jesus. I've got the guts to serve you. Man, I want all of God that I can get. But the Bible says right here in this verse in Ephesians that Jesus chose you. And that's number three. Jesus chose you. And he chose you, listen, according to the good pleasure of his will. In verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. Has made known to us, oh my gosh, I have the opportunity to know your will, God, because you've made it known to me. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. Verse 11, now listen, this is going to be the key to close this message. In him also we've obtained an inheritance. Now listen, being predestined. See, there's people who say, well, yeah, you know what? You had that limb blown off in the military. That God just predestined that for you. No, the predestination of God is that we're transformed into the image of his son, not the calamity that that religion will tell you it is. You weren't predestined for that divorce. You weren't predestined for that bankruptcy. No, you know what? God's hands your life. That what you're truly predestined for is to be transformed in the image of his son. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So if it's in his will, that's what God's predestined for me in my life. And let me tell you what his will is. It's good news. It's good news. There's some sacrifice in it. There's some discipline that you have to have, but it's good news that we who first trusted Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Number four, life works best according to God's word. God's will is best life now. That's his will, best life right now. Stop, best life. Yeah, I know 10 minutes ago was really bad. Best life now. See, God isn't transforming you into a better you. He's making a new creation in him. He's recreating us. He's not rebuilding us or retooling us or refreshing us. He's recreating us. See, what the enemy wants to do, because he can't create Jack, he wants you retreading. He wants you. Hey, how about you just be a better you today? God's going to make you a better you. Why would I want to be a better me? I want the hope of glory, man. Anybody with me on that? I want all of God that I could get. Anybody with me on that? Well, let me tell you, it's got to come out of your mouth. You eat good, the words that come out of your mouth. God's will is best life now, not a better me, but a new me. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth in the gospel of your salvation. And let me tell you, that is a mouthful right there. You have to be continual. You have to continually live your life in God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, I don't have any faith. Yes, you do. It's just dormant. Man, you let the word come alive in your heart, in your life. See, here's what our faith amounts to. What our faith does is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What our faith is that we believe it, we trust it, and we speak it. It has to come out of your mouth to be activated. You'll say, oh, are we going to do one of those, hey, repeat after me things? Yeah, because I want it coming out of your mouth. You ready? I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I said, I'm above and not beneath. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. I am created in Christ Jesus for great works. I am born again. I'm not a retread of who I used to be. I'm a child of the King. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world.